one of the requirements for a first-time lay reader is that the pastor is supposed to find one of the hardest readings in Scripture to see how they pass. Well, I originally was going to give her the whole book of Acts, but we narrowed it down to just a small portion, and she did an outstanding job. She even got through Cappadocia. Yeah, I thought that was a coffee drink. Oh, that's cappuccino. You can't tell by me. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for your power and your presence among us, for the good news of Jesus Christ, for Mother's Day and Pentecost, and for the coming of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Nurture us with your presence and the power of your holy word, and may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You have to catch the wind to get the power. That's what it's all about today. Catch the wind to get the power. And we know a lot about wind on the top of this hill on these 40 acres. You know that as well as I do. On the clearest of days, it will get our attention and drive us sideways as we try to come into the front door. You know that. In fact, we spend hours getting ready to come to church on Sunday morning. We want to look absolutely pristine and prepared. And as soon as that wind catches you, as you come into the door, you immediately look like you just got up in the morning. Yeah, you have that air about you. Everything is swept aside. That's one reason I keep my hair short. Oh. In the midst of snow, the intensity of the wind up in this area can take a snow flurry and make it a blizzard. And you know that as well as I do. And wow, it packs a punch as we try to get into the front door. On a warm day, the wind can make it feel chilly. And on a chilly day, you can downright freeze with that wind, wondering, why in the world didn't I bring my coat? Well, that's because it was 40 degrees warmer down the hill. I think what we need to do, I've given a great deal of intellectual pursuit. I think what we need to do is start a wind farm up here. I think it would be great for the church, our 40 acres, and I know King's Deer would appreciate it. It would capture the power of the jet stream and turn it into energy. We must be close to the jet stream where we are. Wind power is one of the most promising forms of renewable energy to be explored today. You know that as well as I do. But one of the problems we face is that the best winds don't seem to be on the ground level, so we have to reach them some way. Instead, they're blowing roughly up there where the jet stream is, at about the 6 mile level. And in the north of our continent, it moves, if I'm not mistaken, from west to east. At that level, the winds are much stronger, much more powerful, much more consistent, carrying up to 100 times more energy than what we experience down here on the ground. The question is, how do we harness that power? Well, I read, according to The Economist magazine, a possibility for us. I don't know if any of you get that magazine, but it was an interesting idea to be considered. They talked about a company entitled Sky Wind Power, and they've developed the flying generator, an instrument that looks like a cross between a helicopter and a kite, if you can imagine that in your minds. Picture an H-shaped frame with rotors at the ends of the four points, tethered to the ground by a very long, long cable. And the rotors provide the lift, like the surface of a kite, as they lift the frame and turn dynamos that generate electricity. And then the electricity is transmitted to the ground through aluminum cables. That's what we need here. Man, can't you see it now? All of those aluminum cables and the tethers and those kites. Ah, we will draw people from thousands of miles around just to see our kites. It'll be a great experience. It seems that if you want to catch the wind, you have to put yourself where the wind is blowing. On the day of Pentecost, Luke writes, "And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it came to the followers of Jesus. And it came to them right where we left them last week." If you were here last week, you remember that. We left them closeted in a closed and secretive upper room. The ascension had taken place, and now all the disciples had gathered together, and they were hanging out. Closeted together. Luke, in fact, writes, they were all in one place. They were together in community as one. Well, if Peter had been in Capernaum, or John in Nazareth, or James at the Sea of Galilee, and maybe Andrew in Cana and the other eight scattered across the country, we wouldn't find the story we find in Acts today. Because when you take a look at the Scripture, you see that Pentecost began in the community. It did not begin with an individual. It began in a community. It began in the community of faith. They were all together. And because they were all together, verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And it gave a clue to all of the people and the surrounding areas who were gathered in Jerusalem for this great occasion. And people from all areas seemed to understand what was going on. And the apostles were able to witness to them in French. Yeah, in Turkish, in German, Pennsylvania Dutch. It was all there. It all happened in community as the Holy Spirit touched the apostles. In our hurried and harried world in which we live in today, we have a tendency to become too introspective, closeted, individualistic in our practice of faith. We sometimes forget that the real essence of our faith takes place in community. It does not take place by yourself in front of a computer. You cannot internet your faith, and we try to do that. I'm worried about our future and our children when we let them understand that the best way that they can involve themselves in life or in faith is to sit in front of a computer somewhere between 8 and 16 hours a day. I'm sorry, Mom, I'm going to be late for school today because I was up until 3 o'clock this morning playing games. And our faith operates that way too. It doesn't matter about the community. It matters about my own individualistic journey. And the whole essence of our faith from the book of Acts says it didn't begin with the individual. It began with all of those who were gathered in the name of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. I love what one author said, and I'm quoting him. He said, Christianity is becoming more like Wikipedia and less like the Encyclopedia Britannica, with people relying more on homeline opinions than time-tested religious insights. And from Acts that we are reminded that it is not in isolation, but when we are together in one place, that we can catch the wind that boggles the mind and uplifts the soul and instructs the heart and fills us with hope, so much so that the outside world, when they look in here on any given Sunday, you said, I don't know what you know about those people, but I think they've been sipping something before 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, they're a little bit too happy this time of the day. What is going on in their lives? If you want to know the power of community gathered together and the power of the Holy Spirit upon that community, you would have had to be here last evening as we had the celebration of life for Cliff Von Berg, a relatively new Christian, found Christ in his mid-60s and made a profession of faith here in the church. And he wanted a celebration of life. He didn't want a funeral. And we had a celebration of life. And in the laughter and in the tears, in the words of remembrance and the words of celebration, you could have heard a pin drop because of the power of God's Spirit among God's people. And you feel it right now. Something you can't explain, something that's beyond yourself. And it's something we gather when we're together, unlike the kinds of experiences when we have by ourselves. Pentecost began in community. It will continue to spread in community. Acts tells us that some of the residents of Jerusalem sneered at the apostles and said that they were filled with new wine. I have to confess that they are wrong. It was old wine. I was there. They didn't want to hear the message of the Galileans. I mean, these were outsiders anyway. They didn't understand everything. So they tried to write them off as a bunch of drunken babble. They didn't know what they were talking about. But Peter raised his voice and challenged, quote, the men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem. I have something to tell you today. You better pay attention. It took guts to stand up in front of that kind of crowd, that sneering crowd. He didn't make a joke. He didn't shy away from the conflict. Instead, he stood up in front of his detractors, saying the speech, the enthusiasm, the fire that burned within them was the fulfillment of the ancient prophecy of Joel. And that was read this morning. In the last days it will be. God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And thanks be to God, your old men will dream dreams. Wow. Peter, this is Peter. A few weeks earlier, he said, I don't even know this man, Jesus. You want, what? You want me to confess I know him? I don't know him, never saw him. No, I'm not one of his followers. And now, what has taken place? Oh my gosh, now a Spirit-powered courage takes place and making him strong and giving him direction. Whose cell phone's going off? Maybe it was me. I think we're challenged to do the same thing in our society today that wants to dismiss our faith as nonsense. We live in a changing society. And it's a society that is beginning to look down on who we are as the body of Christ. And we try to sort of make excuse for it all by saying, you know, that we live in a pluralistic society. And we have to be open and accepting of all religions because, after all, they're all alike, aren't they? Peter stands up and said, get a grip, you Galileans, get a grip. They're not all alike. And I'm here to tell you about Jesus the Christ. Our job is not to simply engage in philosophical arguments with agnostics or refute today's new atheists. Instead, our challenge is to point out what God is doing in our churches and our community and in our nation and in our world, and not to be apologetic for it at all. When family members come together, like on Mother's Day, that's a God moment. When an unexpected healing occurs, that's a God moment. When warring factions make peace, that's a God moment. When in our diversity, even here, when we can find unity, that's a God moment. When a couple is married for 60 years, that's a God moment. And when a baby is born into our world, and I had the good fortune to hold the newest baby this last week, and he was so cute and so cuddly and so wet. And every baby is a God moment. And when a people reach out to touch others in the midst of catastrophe, as this nation does time after time after time, don't you ever think that that's anything else but a God moment. Catch the wind, and along with the wind, catch the courage to share with others the God moments in your own life. One thing more. In translating from the Greek to the English, if we translate the words which we understand to be Holy Spirit, actually a better translation would be Holy Breath or Holy Wind. Now, we're not going to do that this day and time because we're not used to saying, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Wind. I mean, that's just not where we come from. In some ways, however, Holy Wind may be much closer to reality in terms of God's third person than Holy Spirit. Because you see, a wind moves things. Think of the leaves blowing in a blustery wind while you're trying to rake them all up. You know what happens, don't you? You lose your patience. No. You get angry. Because here you are, you're ready. You have them all in little piles, and you have this lousy plastic bag, and you notice how it keeps going shut on you as you try to rake them in? The blustery wind does that. Think of the snow blowing. A snow blowing in a blizzard. Have you tried? Yes, you have, I know. Tried to get home from wherever you are, and the snow is blowing so hard. You can't see 2 feet in front of you. You don't know whether to pull over, to stop, to keep going. You know if you stop, somebody's going to run into you. Think of the loud flapping of the flag on the pole. You know how it sounds in the wind. And sometimes you wonder if the wind is going to take it and rip it right off the pole. That unrelenting wind that will just tear into that cloth flag. And think of the wind filling the sails of a boat. And I remember with my dear friend back in Pennsylvania on the Susquehanna River in that sailboat and how we try to catch the wind and the wind would move us along in that Susquehanna River. Think of standing on a mountaintop or at a seashore. You've been there, haven't you? There on that mountaintop, there on the seashore, the sand is so beautiful and white, the dunes, the sea oats are blowing in that wind. And for just a moment, as that wind blows, and you have to squint because it's blowing so hard in your face, for just a moment, something happens when the wind blows, and you feel better and more alive and more alert than you've ever felt before. And it all happens when the wind touches your life. Wind is all about movement. How alive you feel in those fleeting moments when it touches you. So for us today, as we celebrate young people coming forward and making a commitment to Christ, we celebrate the power of the wind in this place, the power of God's Spirit as it blows among us. Catch the wind. Feel the power of God as we gather together, giving us an identity and meaning as a family. We are the body of Christ. Never apologize for that. Catch the wind and gain the depth of spirit and courage you need to be the kind of vibrant disciple that Christ demands you to be in this day and time. Catch the wind and know the power and presence of Christ as you are loved and forgiven and set free as a child of God. If you haven't experienced that ever in your life, get it today. Accept it today. Turn your life over to Christ today. Allow the power of this day. Mother's Day and Pentecost together can make something of your life that perhaps it has never been before. Catch the wind. Put it to work in the world. And touch the hearts of others with the good news of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Wind. Amen.